On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back into the Tall Can Audio podcast. Matt over here, Rob over there. What are you saying today, man?
I'm saying I can't wait for fall, maybe.
Already, eh? I've had enough.
It's the record-setting heat and humidity together, man. That's just... it's busting me down.
Right.
Now, that being said, I spent the sweltering weather yesterday out on the back deck with the dog, right by the pool, in and out of the pool.
Both licking their own asses.
Yeah, if I could.
Helping each other out now.
If I could, I wouldn't be on the back deck if I could. I may never leave my bedroom. In and out of the pool, barbecued a spatched cock chicken.
Okay, it's too fucking hot to barbecue, man. Standing there in the heat, getting just baked at the front.
Yeah, but I was taken down a couple of beers, right? Both coming in the long neck beer bottle
really?
Variety. Yeah.
So this must be still from the Brew Rev.
This is still from Brew Rev.
Yeah.
One was it was called the Pear Necessities.
Okay.
It was a prickly pear sour, which...
it's a prickly beet.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm turning over a bit of a sour note, right?
Yeah, well, some of us could tell you've been doing that for a while. Coming from me, man.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. You get that little sweat on the bottle in the heat, right? You bring it right out, crack it. It was a pinch subdued, perhaps,
okay.
on the sour front. Low alcohol, 4%. Nice. I would order that again. The other one was what they're calling it was called Holdin' On, which I'm not sure the musical reference to that, but it was what they call a session IPA.
Okay.
Which is confusing to me.
Yep.
As a session beer is supposed to be predominantly lower alcohol that you can... put in a good session.
Rock
with,
a good sesh.
Yeah. Whereas an IPA is traditionally leans towards a slightly higher.
Boom. We're doing this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in your face.
Right.
But this ran about 4.7. So it's really just a regular beer that they're calling a session IPA.
Sure.
It was also super tasty. Again, in the glass bottle. I've held both those back. I'll send you over a photo of those.
Yep.
I've now taken down eight beers from Brew Revolution and... loved 7 out of 8.
Wow. Like
really, really. The double dry hopped, the double IPA, Bad Roommate it was called. it's I think the fact that I'm not a double IPA guy, right?
Yep.
You can't fault them because it was exactly what they offered it up, right? It was coppery in color. It you could actually, the alcohol... It was a little too hoppy for me, and the alcohol at 8.5 was kicking you right in the...
Well, going back a few years now, the first time we had Andy Nita in studio, we talked about the Untappd app, right? Where people go on and they rank their beers. And I told him then, I struggle with the concept of it a little bit almost, just because if I try something and you told me, like you're telling us right now, you told me what to expect, and it's not really my thing, and I had it anyway... You don't, do I go in and give that a 2 out of 5? Like, for people who like that kind of a beer, that's fucking misleading, right? Like,
yeah.
But it's my own person. You also want to be able to scroll back and look at the ones that you gave low ratings to so you don't buy them again. So it's kind of a weird, yeah. But yeah, like you're saying, it, you can't fault the brewery for saying, hey, here's something, and you going, ah, I don't like that.
Yeah. And
I like it anyway. Yeah. Like, or drank it anyway. So,
yeah. Agreed, man. Agreed.
Yeah. So
that being said, nothing out of the ordinary here. I've had to double fist it, knowing the type of show we got coming.
Right.
So I got a triple barrel gin and tonic here.
Nice,
and,
man.
And an Innocent Gunning craft lager. Here.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago now, maybe a little less than that, you mentioned on this show, the Walking on Sunshine was maybe your favorite beer thus far of 2020, or summer 2020. I can't remember exactly how you
correct.
Put it. We threw that up on Instagram, and within a few minutes, they had the Brew Revolution had responded right away to say, GOAT of 2020, we'll take it. Thanks, boys. So they were happy for the review and are checking us out now on Instagram as well. So if you haven't had a chance yet, Rob's given the big thumbs up to Brew Revolution out of Stittsville.
Three thumbs, actually.
There you go. Don't even ask where that third one has come from. Let's just carry on with the show. A week or so ago, I referenced on here that I had gotten a gift certificate back to Evergreen from a couple friends, and I was encouraged. The note that came with the gift certificate said, I know you like one or two from these guys, so thought we would set you up there, and then you could experiment with a couple of others. So we're through the experimental phase, and we're back to now the one or two that the people know I like. And this is Dark is the New Light from Evergreen Craft Ales. It's always stout season, and this is one that I know we've had in here a few times. I think you brought it in the first time, and... It was delightful then. It's delightful now, man.
As I said to you, if you keep it rocking at about a 19 or 20 degrees Celsius indoors, it is forever stout season.
Yes, exactly. So Evergreen Craft Ales, Dark is the New Light, what I got going on here. As always, the beers are at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. We're also at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. We would be remiss, of course, if we didn't mention again, on our Monday show on July 27th, we've brought it up a couple of times now. We're going to continue to bring it up. The Bob Father is here. TSN's Bob McKenzie will be, for some reason, spending a little bit of his vacation with Tall Can Audio, man. This should be a fun one. We're looking forward to sharing that with everybody.
The ungettable get.
Yeah. The guy. So
the guy.
You want to be an insider, check it out here on TCA.
Yeah.
The 8 versus 9s, man. We said we were going to do one of these per week for 4 weeks, and then, you know, they sort of drag out, and they're every 2 weeks, and they're... It took a little longer to get things running, I think, than we planned to, but a couple of interesting ones here. Which one, to use more interesting place to start?
Well, I think we got to start out west.
Okay.
It's how we traditionally do things, and you know I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah, true.
Unless I'm not.
Right.
Start at west. Start with Calgary, Winnipeg.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm taking a beverage while I
was trying to do the same. Normally, this is one of those things in studio. You can see the other person and you know to fill and to keep talking. But this pesky pandemic thing has put that to an end for now. I wonder whether Johnny Gaudreau decides that he will be one of the players to opt out, since he also chose to opt out of the 2019 playoffs. Hey-oh! Zing. This is an interesting...
And parts of the 2019-2020 regular season.
It's true. This is an interesting one, man. And there is always something for me... There really shouldn't be, but in the all-Canadian matchup, for some reason I still get a little more into that. This will be one of the series, I think, that I end up watching pretty closely.
Well, yeah, I think because when you look at these 8 versus 9s, as you should in every sort of, you know, tiered or seeded matchups, right? These present you intriguing matchups for their similarities and their contrasts, right? And
in theory, should be as close as you're going to get, right? In competitiveness. Right.
I think these two teams finished a point apart.
Right.
Right, in the regular season, playing in different divisions. I think if you look at Winnipeg, despite finishing in a wild card spot, played in the tougher division.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they're 1 point up, I believe, on Calgary and coming out of the tougher division. Mm-hmm. So I think when you look at this, there's so much more I like about Winnipeg than I do about Calgary.
So we're not starting on the blue line.
Yeah, okay. No, no.
I'm with you in theory.
This is true. This is true. But when you look at all of it.
Oh, I agree.
And if you wanna break it down like that, if you look at the goaltending, to me there's a huge canyon
gulf.
Between the two.
Agreed.
Right, in terms of starters, at least Hellebuck versus whether it's Big Save Dave or or the next savior in Cam Talbot.
Yeah, not right? so much.
Yeah, if you look at the season, and I think Hellebuck is a front runner for the Vezina.
Right? He seems to have dropped himself squarely into that top five now, almost permanently. Right, like he's one of those guys you look to and go, one of the goalies in the league. As opposed to, you know, we Markstrom, right, when we did the last one. Is he now a top-tier goalie, or did he have a great season, right? Whereas Hellebuck has kind of set himself in there now. I'm one of those guys.
Right, and see, because Hellebuck had that great season a couple of seasons ago and then struggled a bit a year ago and then resurfaced under, you know, serious duress this season. And in terms of... You know,
our entire defense left.
high percentage opportunities that, you know, nobody outside of Freddie Anderson has seen. Right. And so, and he came up outstandingly well, right?
Yep.
Now, he played a ton of hockey. I think he played 59 of 71 games.
Yeah, I think 70. He's pumped. He was fine with the break.
Yeah. Well, and this is it, right? As it comes down to it, he, again, like Freddie Anderson, may be two of the guys who are happiest. For the breaks from their workload, right?
Well, but, we'll get to that. October Freddie isn't something that Leaf fans are going to be pumped to see in August, but we'll get to
hold that. Hold that thought, Matt. Yeah, hold that thought.
For sure.
But if you look at, to me, in net, knowing the defense that you had and the way things shake out, it's, to me, a huge nod to Winnipeg over Calgary.
Agreed. And I think I agree with you as well. Obviously, when you're saying you're looking at this on paper, you like what Winnipeg's got better. I kind of balked at the defense, but up front, the depth that Winnipeg is bringing there as well. I like some of Calgary's pieces, but I don't think they line up depth-wise the same way that Winnipeg does when you can start bringing Scheifele. Like, Scheifele as a number one center, miles ahead of Monahan. Like, it's not close. And then from there, you can go to Ehlers and Laine and Wheeler and like just on and on down.
Oh, wait. And their top scorer, Connors.
Sure. As we all predicted, right?
Yeah, 38 goals for that guy.
Yeah, in not a completed season. So, you know, that's a really deep lineup that they're bringing. Johnny Gaudreau, as we kind of made light of a little while ago, maybe not known as a playoff performer yet. He's young enough that we'll see. Matthew Tkachuk isn't someone that I'm even mildly interested in having to line up against, even in a shortened five-game series. You know that guy's going to piss you off. You know he's got skill to back it up.
Top point getter for them, too.
Yeah. So,
Matthew Tkachuk.
You know, I like Winnipeg up front, certainly far more than Calgary.
If you look at, just to double back a bit to the defense, and we talked about, you know, what a bit of a shit show it was after losing 1, 2, 3, 4 of their top six guys from last year.
Whoops.
Yeah, and you go, oof, that's tough. Right? But if I'm them, I'm doing that Trouba-Pionk trade every day again. Like, in terms of what the you thought coming into it, and you went, who the hell is Neil Pionk? Right?
Oh, he's been fine, and he doesn't have the demand, like the financial demands. And Trouba had made it clear he wanted out of Winnipeg. I think, though, when you made that deal, you did not count on Byfuglien also disappearing, and that's what made it Oh, my God, in hindsight, right?
Did you count on Pionk getting 45 points?
I did not. No, of course not.
No, this is it. And so to me, I
didn't count on knowing who he was. That's a name I can forget in a month, right?
Nobody outside the Pionk family actually had a great idea who he was, right? But to get the first and him for Trouba, I think is, man, you are. And again, don't forget about my boy DeMello. Double D.
Mello.
Yeah.
Fucking right, Mello.
Yeah, and Morrissey, you know, to me,
oh yeah,
it's not as bad as you would have thought,
right?
Right. Clearly, with the depth that Calgary has, huge step back for Giordano, right, this year.
Yep.
In terms of, but with Brody,
40-year-old
Hanifin, Hamonic.
Now we did learn a week or two ago. Now Hamonic will opt out, and you know, he's got some family concerns there.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so he will not be a part of this, but
Scratch him from my list then, right there.
Sure. But still, what Calgary brings on the back end, to me, is obviously still superior to Winnipeg. But when you... This one, to me, I imagine it, just because of the circumstances and the lineups that we're looking at, I think this is going to be high scoring. Like, this is going to be run and gun a bit, and I'm down with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, as we've said before, if you're going to go that style, it lends itself to Winnipeg with the better goaltending and the more offensive depth up front.
Yep.
Right? I think you're right. I think I like Winnipeg, and I don't know. I'm liking it on the shorter side rather than the longer side. Right? I'm you know, I know we're not big on making.
Yeah.
Bold predictions, but four games, man. Winnipeg in four. And what would have made this great is
seven.
In an all Canadian matchup is the crowds, right?
Yeah.
The Winnipeg crowd gets jacked.
For sure.
Right? And so.
And Calgary in that old barn, they get pretty loud, right? They got the drum in there all the time. Like, to me, it's a good
unless
crowd.
Unless they don't. Because it could be, it could get a little sleepy there, too, right? They're a bit like.
Yeah, but not in the playoffs.
No, I know, but. They used to call it the library, right? So to me, there's a reason behind that. Right?
You'll understand that my vision of what a loud crowd is skewed from years in the blue building. But
yeah, because nobody's in the seats; they're all back at the bar.
Yeah, it's loud down in the Platinum Lounge.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of wine glasses tinking together, and I'm with you. I think this is Winnipeg. I think it's shorter than it is long.
Yeah.
Insightful analysis there.
There you go. And that also could be the name of the podcast. Shorter.
People wishing it was shorter than it was long.
No, I was thinking shorter.
I know.
You know exactly where I'm going.
For sure. To me, when we look at all of these, I have no idea, right? When it's a sweep, that's in three, or does it go five? Like, it's hardly any difference. When, like, a 4 out of 7 sweep, you're like, holy fuck. 3 out of 5, you're like, is that really that difference in getting it done in four? But circumstances being what they are, I'm with you. I think it's Winnipeg in 3 or 4. I don't think this is particularly close, to be honest with you, despite what it looks like in the standings.
Yep. Well, and again, I think we can chalk up a lot of that to interdivisional play.
Yep. Anything else on that one, or should we move east?
That's it, man. I will be interested in watching that, though. That will be some good hockey. I think so. Yeah, there's lots to pick apart there.
I've been giddy looking at that schedule, man. I know I've said that before, but like 5-6 games a day for 10 days. Yeah. Noon through 1 a.m.
that whole thing about getting up and shaking the chip crumbs off you somewhere. You're like, I'm in my Snuggie there and I'm just sitting there on the couch.
Fuck remote. Yeah, man.
Yeah. And so if you have that, and you've brought up the reference to Olympic style stuff. You're like, I don't care what time I turn the TV on. There's going to be a game on somewhere.
Yeah, exactly, man. So
and so for all of us waiting, and it go. This looks like it's going to be a reality.
Well, and if you do happen to accidentally run into Predators versus Coyotes, you know, baseball's back, basketball's running several games a day at the time. You know, there's going to be something for everybody for a few weeks, man.
Fans only series, such as,
for sure. So we get to Toronto Columbus, which is certainly a styles clash, but again, separated by only 1 point in the standings. What you said in the last one is also interesting in regards to Columbus being 1 point behind Toronto only, but in a division that housed not the Red Wings and Senators and Sabres and, you know,
Habs.
Right. So whatever else was going there, I think certainly what turned out to be the tougher division. I don't think either you or I predicted that back in October. I think we both thought Florida would be better and Buffalo would move up a little bit. I think we both had maybe 4-4. I can't remember now. But
okay, but we are as much of dupes as everybody else, right? Who keeps saying...
couple of dupes.
You're like, they keep saying Buffalo, you know?
This is it.
And you go, and look at that Panthers team, you know? Yeah. You get two-time Vezina guy, Quenneville coming, blah, blah, blah. And you go, oh, wait, it's still just Florida and it's still just Buffalo. Right? One day they're going to get it right, right? And I think they can look at Philadelphia as a bit of a template,
yep.
Right? Who sort of have been treading water in mediocrity and maybe with Carter Hart. And anyways, we can get to that another time. But
sure.
I think the idea of you need goaltending, man. You got to have, if you don't have goaltending, you're fucked.
So you need your Korpisalos, your Merzlikins.
My name is Jonas. No?
Yeah.
Nobody? Yeah? All right. Yeah, well... Okay.
Back in the day, we used to have a shared season tickets to the Leafs. I'd go down to probably 10 games a year. And this was during the Monster era, the Jonas Gustafsson.
Yeah.
And I tried like hell, man. I tried like hell to get that to catch on after a big save. My name is Jonas. No. Nobody buying it. Everybody just looking at you like a fool.
Okay, I think I would have been with you. I would have been with you.
No one else was, man. Just crickets.
Okay.
Par for the course at the ACC. It's an interesting one, man. When I say you need guys like Merzlikins and Korpisalo, I think if I'd have said it in October, it would have been tongue-in-cheek. You say it now, you're like, man, both guys, pretty good fucking years.
Well... I certainly won't pull you into the muck with me. I was pretty forward on the whole idea that Columbus had the worst starting tandem in the NHL in October.
Sure.
To me, I thought there's no way Korpisalo and Merzlikins are gonna get the job done.
Right.
Right? You're gonna count on this unknown Latvian? Named Elvis? Like, come on,
yeah, man.
There's no way.
Right.
But you look at those two, the goaltending that they've provided.
Yep.
Whose goaltending are you taking right now?
You mean August Freddy versus...
Yeah. Well, yeah. You mentioned it in the just a second ago. You went, Anderson is saying, I can't wait to, you know, get back and reboot, you know, and try and salvage what was a crappy season.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, you look at his October numbers from the past couple of seasons.
So three out of the four years he's been in Toronto, bad starts. And he had the one in the 18-19 season. Wasn't like it was much better. But every other year that he's been here, he's been a bad starter. And so what are we looking at now, right? Is this, he's had, like, it's been an off season. Like, they've had several months. This is not that different.
They're rolling in with 4 months and change off, I believe.
Yeah, so.
He's a big body, eh?
Yeah, he is. And
I think that's, I think sometimes in the early season, he looks like. Yeah, still got a little couch mode going, right?
And well, you and I have both raved. It wasn't this season. I think it was the year before when Shabbat just danced Ozyganov in like the first week of the season. And his move to get around Ozyganov was unreal. But the shot that he put on Freddie, you're like, oh, Fred, come on, buddy. Get an arm up. Like, I can't.
Help the rookie. Help the rookie, will you?
Something, man. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that. And there's been just as much time later in the season where Freddie has been huge for us and covered all kinds of shit. But this is another one of those ones with Korpisalo and Elvis that you look at maybe like the Vancouver one, where both of them had killer seasons. Are we ready to bank on them both just finding that again? Or is that a mystery too? To me, the goaltending in this one, if you forced me to take one team's over the other, I would take Columbus's just because there's two of them. Like, if one was awful in game one, I'll go to the other in game two. If Freddie's bad, I like the move that they made for Campbell, but I'm sure they're not prepared to go to that in game two and run with it the rest of the way. Like,
right. Right. And I think you're looking at Freddie is going to be there for the whole goalie. Because if you start Freddie, if you start Freddie in the first two games and he doesn't do well,
yeah,
you're not going with Campbell in game three.
I don't think so.
A horrible message.
Yeah,
right?
Going into the next season, which is also Freddie's last, you might as well just try and make a deal, like, if you can, because you've said all you need to say at that point.
Yeah, we can't count on you, and we're not gonna.
Right,
we're gonna let you go with your.
So no, you're right. I think for better or worse, Freddie's going the distance.
Right, and I think at the end of the day, despite all that I've said, and based on no stats, and really. I'm gonna go with Freddie in this series, right? I think I'm willing to throw it all in the wash and say I like his track record better.
But he has one.
Yeah. Well, this is it, right? The other two guys with zero playoff games.
Right.
Right. At least Freddie has all that, and I'm no Leaf booster. But
oh, get yeah, out of here.
I since when? Oh, since 1983.
Right.
Yeah. So that is I like the tandem in Toronto to get this done, especially with moving up a bit. To you know, Riley will be back. Muzzin will be back.
We got much feedback on your referral to them as an AHL defense a few weeks ago. People did not care for that.
Come on, people.
And now you're boosting them again as now that they're back and healthy.
I'm boosting them with head-to-head against Columbus.
I think
the pop gun offense that Columbus brings.
For sure.
Right, is going to be... You know, he can obviously your top two defensemen back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's huge for sure. Riley was back, I think, for one, maybe two games before the shutdown. We also gotten CeCe back. Yeah. Muzz will be back.
Totally forgot about Cody.
We're trying. I don't know what that's going to look like. I assume they're going to play him because they're short on right-handed guys, but. I don't know, like, we have nothing anywhere in the lineup that looks like Seth Jones or Zach Werenski. Like, their top pair is better than our top pair. But after that...
You have Murray and Savard. Like, to me, those guys, if you're going to slot in three versus five, those are exactly where you want those guys.
Sure. I think... They're not going to stand up to our depth like our 3-5 guys can stand up to their depth. And that circles back to your pop gun offense like you're talking about, right? If you're going to look at having to go Pierre-Luc Dubois' line against probably Jake Muzzin's pairing, and then let's say Jones and Werenski take the Matthews line, then Tavares gets to run over Murray and Savard, I'm good with that. Like, give me that for a few games. I think we'll be okay. It's all about the pairings, right? It's all about how you're going to match this off, and
yeah, well, and I do look at, you know, there wasn't anybody, you know, I think Toronto had four guys with more points than the top point getter for Columbus had, which I believe was Pierre-Luc Dubois at 48 points.
Yeah, I don't think they had anyone over 50 points. Yet,
no, and so
Wenberg coming back.
You're
like, hey.
Well, but see Kamak, it's like, to me, what they're gonna bring in terms of Bjorkstrand had a great season.
Yep.
Right. You are looking
Josh Anderson will be back healthy. Wenberg, that's gonna be a pain in the ass to play against.
Right. Now he had one goal, I believe, all season.
Yeah, but he was beat to fuck. I agree with you, but he's one of those guys that in a playoff round is gonna suck to play against.
Well, he's probably gonna shoulder somebody in the head, right? Like he did last year.
No doubt about that. Yeah.
And so, He's a beast.
Yeah.
He's a beast. And yeah, you hope that. Now, they were saying from March 2nd, 4 to 6 months, right? Now, I know we're hearing that he's going to be good to go.
Yep.
But, you know, the longer for that guy, it's getting better, tight. Right? Right, in terms of what he's going to come back with. But, you know, Cam Atkinson, Foligno, they have interesting pieces. And what they're going to do with the Tortorella system, nobody, you know, when you look at a team that's going to go, you know, you're going to lose your Vezina goalie and you're going to lose Panarin, who only killed it this year in New York.
No, for sure. MVP conversation.
You're going to lose, your rentals in Duchesne and Dzingel.
Yep.
I totally all those pieces
seems like all those so pieces, long ago.
Yeah, all those pieces are going to go, right? And then you say, and you're left with what you're left with.
Now we're still fine.
And then you go, they have, honestly, Tortorella has them playing that Rangers style from the, you know, the 2012-ish. Yeah,
everybody blocks shots. And I
wonder, again, when you talked about style contrasts, right, that Toronto's going to want to get this to be high event hockey. Yeah,
for
right?
sure
this
they is, are.
And so will the Columbus Blue Jackets be able to keep the Leafs outside? Will they be able to muck it up, right, and impose a bit of their style on them? I think they're set to do that. I think the way they play, everybody healthy now, right?
Yep.
In terms of the additions they have coming back, and we've already touched on them a bit.
Yep.
But they had 33 different guys skate for them this year.
I know that.
They were really, and they're running AHL guys in, and Tortorella's got them doing their thing, right? Now, is it always the most entertaining?
No, it is fucking not.
Yeah, not so much.
But this is you've made the comparison
playoff hockey.
As we've moved through this, you've said that they're kind of Boston Light. And I don't see that. I see it almost more as Carolina Light. Like, we've talked about that David Ayers game where the Hurricanes just by system said, nope, you're not getting close to the net. We're keeping you outside. It's not that rough and tumble. They don't have a Marchand or a Pasternak. It's all system, right? And I do think they can do that well enough to make this really frustrating for Toronto's guys. And we've seen at times that Toronto's guys don't always respond very well to that. See that infamous David Ayers game, right? And I think that's the better comparison. It's the blocked shots. It's the you can't get in close. It's not going to be that rough and tumble, although they do have some guys that can do that. It's just frustrating, right? It's just can't get close to what you want to do.
And you're right. People do, and I have said the same, you know, with the Boston reference. And what they don't have is they clearly don't have one of the top two or three lines in hockey.
No.
And I was reading a piece that talked about, you know, in the 17-18 season, you know, that Bergeron line seemed to score at will against Toronto.
Yep.
The next year in 18-19, you know, the Tavares line was able to sort of put a bit of a blanket on them 5-on-5, but then that line just on the power play, the Boston power play just torched Toronto. And so for sure, Columbus does not have that going for them, right?
Right.
They have a terrible power play, right? Which is ranked near the bottom of the conference. And so now Toronto does not have a great PK either. So this could be a couple of guys, you know, finger painting with mitts on, but we'll see. Right, how that looks.
We had Eric Engels on the show from Sportsnet not too long ago, and one of the things that he said isn't being talked about enough, and I think it was a good point, was what type of officiating are we going to see? Is this the officiating that we see at the beginning of every season where refs call the face-off infractions and that your visor's too high and the, you know, we're sending a message early on, or is it playoff officiating where you can shoot a guy in the face and continue on with your day like nothing happened? That's going to be as interesting as anything else, especially in this series where Toronto, as you've suggested, badly wants to make this a track meet and just win a shootout kind of a game. Columbus wants to bog it down a little bit, and the officiating in a series like that could be a big deal. And I don't think we know which one we're going to see.
Yeah, well, nobody does.
No.
I get the feeling that those sorts of mandates that come down from the league in the early season, which says, hey, this is what we want to see. These are the things that the tone we want to set for this season. I don't think you're going to see that, right?
Call it those for 3 weeks.
Right. Well, no, you're not going to see that because they don't have that luxury, right? Like 2 years ago when they said, anytime your stick gets horizontal to the ice, you're going to get called, right?
Yeah.
And then the fiasco and the mockery that was that face-off infraction, right? Where you got guys taking penalties, right? And there was like sometimes two in a game. When's the last time you saw one of those?
Never. They'll still wave the first guy out, but the second guy never gets penalized. But that will be interesting to see, because I think you're right. I think this gets called like playoff hockey. You've also had referees with 4 months off, right? So that's certainly easier to let shit go.
Because the league is you have that understanding as the league works its way through all playoffs. At this point in time, the league will look at this as playoffs, which strangely, it's close.
Funny that.
They don't have time for this shit. Although it's interesting, Matt, that they've talked about, these are not, this play-in round are not playoffs.
Yeah.
But then you're gonna go with, playoff overtime, and then them saying, and the stats will count as playoff stats.
I saw the other day, making it clear to Vancouver, who has a first round riding on if we make the playoffs, a first round pick riding on if we make the playoffs, it's this. If we don't, it's that. And the Canucks have been assured, if you don't win your play-in round, it will not be considered that you have made the playoffs. So they're picking and choosing when to call it this and when it's not. And this has been a thing, and it only poured gasoline on the fire for the lottery teams that wanted to say, oh, so a playoff team is going to have a chance at the first overall pick, which you were always able to say, yeah, no, they're not. Someone's going to get it. But the league's now like, technically, it's a playoffs, and you'll get credit for, and let's say, I don't know, Washington goes on a run, wins the whole thing again. Could Ovechkin set a playoff record in goals by scoring 5 goals in an extra round that no one else has ever had, right?
Now I haven't seen it anywhere. I haven't heard, because the round robin games.
Oh, that's a good point.
Will be played with regular season. To me, it's more the you know what I mean?
Fuck.
To me, it's this whole a la carte kind of.
Yeah.
I think we'll take that for this, and we'll take that for
call it what you want.
Just. To me, it's more, and let's,
And so, look at, but you know what I mean. It doesn't have to be Ovechkin, but just someone in the play.
Let's look at Austin Matthews.
Sure.
And say, that's a guy who, these are going to be deemed playoff stats as opposed to, can you see Austin Matthews scoring 4 goals in this first round?
Sure you could.
Of course he could. Yeah. And you go, could you make an argument that that's a 50-goal season?
Right.
No, you can't, because those are now playoff stats. And you're like, I've been fucking jobbed. No. Right, because then you look at it and you go, you could have a team, and we'll stick with Toronto. Right,
yeah.
Toronto wins the cup. Freddie Anderson could win 19 games,
right,
setting a playoff record. And you're like, that's bogus.
Yeah,
like absolutely. What a joke.
No, it's true. They're just sort of picking it, and I get it. It's got to be difficult. Like, where do you put these stats? Why do they have to be put anywhere? It's a one-off.
You know where you put them? You put them right beside the Avco Cup in mothballs somewhere, man. That's where you put it. It never happened.
A necessary evil. 1 year. It is what it is. But no, I need to know where these stats go and what type of. Oh fuck.
So. Yeah, because if these don't count for my regular season stats, they should not count towards, totally skewing playoff records. Now I hear people say, people who want to make sense and talk actual facts.
Losers.
Yeah, somewhere else. But they're saying, playoff stats being skewed. There was a day when, you only had to win 2 rounds to win the cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. And there was days when it was only a best of 3 or a best of 5 in the first round. So I get it. Things change and they're very fluid, right? But in this in this day and age and under these unique circumstances we have right now, fuck it.
Yeah.
Make this Like, it's like the Twilight Zone, right? This is really as much about getting guys up and going and qualifying, you know, as it is about anything else. Stats be damned. The regular season's done. Playoffs start when the playoffs start, and we're down to 16 teams.
Yep. Agreed.
Don't give me any of this shit.
So, predictions on this one.
I so badly want to take Columbus.
I know.
But
I know you do.
But I really, at the end of the day, think Toronto has too much talent, right? I think this could be a 5-game series.
I do too.
But I like the Leafs in 5. Just too much talent.
I've had this nagging feeling. I think it's a long series, but this does seem like one that could get into the Leafs' craw, right? Like those top guys that want to run and go, and we don't have a ton of jam in that opposite direction, right? Like, I don't even know if Kyle Clifford gets in the fucking series. Now that Mikheyev is back, do they want to use Nick Robertson?
No Andreas Johansson, right? He's not back.
No, he's not back. So that's the thought to me, that maybe Nick Robertson slides in there on the third line with Kapanen as a line that can just fly.
55 goal man from the OHL.
Yeah, like it's going to be tough to not use him, right? Like, with no Johnsson, right? Mikheyev, I'm happy to have him back, but he had his wrist absolutely mutilated at the end of December, has not played since, and he didn't have a hard shot to begin with. To count on him being, well, he didn't. He loved to kind of come down that left wing and wind up like he was going to hammer it, kind of old Bobby Hull style, and then it would just sort of float into the goalie.
Flutter off into the glass.
And I really liked him as he could kill penalties, he was responsible, all these sorts of things. I'm happy he's back, but to expect that guy, after 8 months off, is just going to be that again. On the left side, I think Robertson may have to play, and that's a guy that could get pushed around. I don't remember why I ended up bringing him up. Toronto, I guess it's because, to me, Toronto lean into Kyle Clifford is not changing this series. Having one guy like that is not changing. So lean into what you are and run and gun and hope for the best, right? And
because you know what Toronto could use? Nazem Kadri or Connor Brown.
All right.
Then throw Clifford in with those guys, and man, look what you got.
Look what I got. I got some Spez. I think Spez is one of those guys who's happy for 4 months off, man. I'm going to be re-energized Spez.
Yeah. Is he back next year?
Not yet, but...
No, I know, but do you see him back?
I'd love to have him back. If he's willing to do that again, and by all accounts, he is, right? Like, he didn't come home this year for $750,000 for a chance to win in the hopes of going to wherever next year for a couple of million. I think this is his plan, or do this, right?
Like, and he's turned into a pro's pro too, right?
Yeah. I've loved that deal. Like, I've been really happy with it. He can slot up and down a little bit. He can play that second power play. The kids seem to love him, right? I've been really happy with it. I hope he's back for another year. And
he's worked super hard, right?
Yeah.
As a guy who started out as this uber skilled guy and...
It was a disaster in his own end.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Spez dispenser, right? Turning over pucks at both blue lines like nobody's business, right? Like he was.
Yeah.
He was.
And
he's still
not great, but he's no longer makes you hold your nose and go, ooh, fuck. Like,
no, but as a guy who still brings those 80 to 90 point seasons he had, that idea, he's not getting those points.
Right.
But he still has some form of that. Yeah. Skill that when put in the proper situation, as you said, second power play units, yeah. he's a great addition.
I would absolutely do that again.
And so to me, for all these reasons, I like what Columbus has in the coaching department over a young, unproven Sheldon Keefe.
Yep. Yeah.
But we'll see, right? Torts has shown to be a bit of a, you know, get that carried out in front of the donkey and able to whip them into some kind of, but I think at the end of the day, this favors the young guys, I think.
I think you're right.
I was reading somewhere they were talking about, I think it was Brad Marchand, who said, I think it's going to be young teams like Toronto and Tampa who have the leg up on what will be sloppy hockey to begin with.
Yeah.
And I think he's right. Right. I think the teams who are going to be lean on skill.
Yeah. If we're playing shinny, lean towards the young and the quick, right?
Like, right. Lean towards that over a team who's going to be system based, right? As Columbus is.
Yeah. And we've debated that all the way through all of these series. So I'll stick with it now. I'll say Toronto in five, but it's a coin flip. Like, it's right. really close. And Columbus might be, we saw what they, like, every time that I bring myself around to going Toronto in five, I go, yeah, last year Columbus in four over Tampa, right? So
yeah.
I know it's, the circumstances are different, but Columbus is absolutely capable of just going, yeah, fuck that, and punting Toronto too. So we'll see.
Yeah, and see, had this series materialized
April.
In April 1st or 15th or whatever it was going to be,
yeah.
I would maybe lean towards Columbus in this sort of, I've been running my system
yep.
all season long, right? We're firing as well as we can.
Yeah.
But it's not the case. And I think, yeah, skill and youth in a short series, Toronto in five.
So we are inching ever closer. August 1st, we fire these up. I mentioned Eric Engels a few minutes ago. I only bring him up again now because he put out a tweet the other day that kind of made me laugh, as he said, I think about these one-off exhibition games that every team's going to have. These will be the most watched exhibition games in NHL history, as people are hankering for their hockey at this point. So August 1st, it fires up five games, and then six a day through to the 10th.
Woo.
It's an Olympics, it's a World Juniors, it's whatever you want to call it. We've now done four of these, covering eight different series. You can go back, check any one of them out at tallcanaudio.com or wherever you're listening to this. You just scroll up and down a little bit. You can check out some of the guests we've had on while you're at it. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening. Anything else for this one, man?
Yeah, the World Junior reference is great because... Nashville, Arizona, you're the Germany, Kazakhstan. just so you know, man, as this all shakes loose,
yeah.
You're the team, you're the game that I show up and there's
Switzerland
and 42 people in the stands, and really that's you, Nashville, Arizona. But no, that's all I got. Bob McKenzie coming up
July 27th. Make sure you don't miss that one. That's another sure. reason all on its own to make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this.
Do it.
That's Talk Can Audio for another week. We'll catch you all on the next one.
See ya.
Now, y'all ain't got nothing else for me to drink. I'm a haul ass. No, I'm serious. I'm about to haul ass if y'all have no better shit than this to drink.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Talk Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.